but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
34 people indicted by the FBI and the Department of Justice. Gambling, illegal poker games, sports wagering. A lot of questions for the NBA. Adam Silver's league investigating. The FBI and the Department of Justice arresting, including Damon Jones, Chauncey Billups. A lot of questions. You have the Trailblazers wrapped up in this. You have the NBA wrapped up in this. You have people like Dan Patrick saying this is the tip of the iceberg.
Looking at the last 24 hours, this is the perception. Let's say 6 months from now, Terry Rozier, Chauncey Billups, totally exonerated. Damon Jones, totally exonerated. It feels like this is going to be lasting. Because it felt like, if you're a fan, you probably already have suspicions.
Brian Windhorst saying Billups gave up insider information.
Chauncey Billups isn't even named in this indictment. The head coach of the Trailblazers, who's now been put on leave by the league office, as, by the way, as Terry Rozier, as I'm sure you've told your viewers. Chauncey is just described as co-conspirator 8. Who is described as an Oregon resident who played in the NBA from 1997 to 2014.
Yes, we can figure that out. Okay. Yes.
So this is what the new information is, which is that Damon Jones and Chauncey Billups use their positions as coaches of teams to tell people who may be available. And what it appears to be Damian Lillard and LeBron James, potentially also Anthony Davis. I'm not 100% sure about that.
So wait a minute. Let me just jump in here. So you're saying Chauncey Billups, it's not just the poker thing, that he is also in this indictment,
yes,
alleged to have given out information as to who's playing and who's not?
Yes, that's correct.
How big a problem is this for the NBA? I'll tell you what, Ryan Berger, Sports Business Radio, predicted that the NBA would have a gambling scandal. He forecasted the problem with professional sports and gambling. He's here to talk about it. Berger, what did you see coming? And you had to be nodding your head as this all went down.
Hey, John, how are you? Thanks for having me on. I mean, this is a recipe for disaster. You've got all the sports leagues who have climbed into bed with the sports gambling companies. You've got these player prop bets that didn't exist 5 years ago that exist now, where you can bet on is he going to hit his over or under for that evening. It used to be you just bet the spread of the game. You bet the over under. There's too many different bets that exist. There's too many ways that bets can be manipulated now. And then you've got a lot of young people, a lot of young men especially, who are addicted to gambling. And you add all those things up, and it's a mess. And it's a really hard thing for these teams to keep information inside on injuries and other confidential information, and stuff gets out. So if you're Adam Silver and you wake up today, John, you've got the sports gambling scandal that broke last week. You've got the Clippers cap circumvention investigation with Kawhi Leonard, and you've got the WNBA CBA, which expires on Friday. He's got a lot on his plate.
What are the ripple effects in your mind to Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, Damon Jones? You know, because some have said it's the tip of the iceberg. I think there will be much more to this, and it'll be unending. But how concerned does the league have to be that this is much bigger than these three guys?
Yeah, I agree that it's the tip of the iceberg. I think it is much bigger than these three guys. I think FBI investigation is going to reveal more. I think one of the biggest changes that will probably come out of this, and Adam Silver has been asking for this, is the limitation of player prop bets. So maybe you have one or two players where you can make a prop bet on an over-under, but it's not going to be to the scale that it is right now. So hopefully that's going to curb some of this and curb the information that needs to be kept confidential. But I do think that's going to be one thing that's going to come out of this. I think these leagues are going to have to be much better at detecting anomalies. Like, why is everyone betting Terry Rozier's under? There are companies out there that help the leagues with that, but I think they're going to really need to ramp up these things. But it's so hypocritical, John, when the leagues are saying, you can't do this and you can't do that, but they're all in bed with the sports gambling companies. People say, well, you kind of opened Pandora's box, and here you go.
Ryan Berger, Sports Business Radio, is with us. Look, if you're Adam Silver, what's the PR on this? How do you handle this in the short term? What is the messaging to the public? Because I think it rocks the confidence that people have in these games, and we've seen it before with Tim Donaghy and officiating, but now it's players.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what he did the other night, kind of impromptu, with Cassidy Hubbard doing on Prime, where he just kind of talked to her during the game. And, you know, he said their hands are tied on certain things. They don't have subpoena power like the FBI does. But I think no one's going to feel sorry for any of these leagues when these scandals hit, because they all open Pandora's box. They're all happy to take millions of dollars. And you knew when you did that, that you have young people who are either influenced by greed or they're going to get caught up with the wrong people. I mean, many people think Chauncey Billups got caught up with the wrong people. He got upside down with them, and he had to give them inside information or give them something in order to, you know, save himself. And that's what he did, apparently.
And I'm looking at Chauncey specifically. It just, the first question I had, Brian, is how does he end up in the room? And that is one of the theories that I've considered and talked about. Like, you know, maybe he was in so deep that, you know, they said, hey, you're going to pay off your debt by legitimizing these games and sitting at the table. How much trouble is Chauncey in legally, in your mind, and with the league and his future as a possible coach? They are now withholding his salary. It will go into escrow. He and Terry Rozier will not be paid, seemingly, you know, the presumption of innocence, and then, well, hold on, we're not going to pay you. We're gonna wait to see that these charges are dropped before we give you a dime. How much trouble is Chauncey in?
I mean, unless this turns out to be a witch hunt like Duke lacrosse was many years ago, where we all went, wow, they were falsely accused, we had that wrong, this is totally backwards, which I don't think it's going to be. I don't see how Chauncey comes back from this. I don't see how people trust him, how you would hire him to lead your team or be in a position of authority. Same thing with Terry Rozier. I don't know how he comes back from this. Maybe he's playing in China or something like that. But if you're the NBA and your league is based on integrity, how do you bring them back and say we still have integrity unless there's overwhelming evidence to show that everything that they were accused of last week is wrong?
I am looking at the Blazers in some weird way. It looks like, you know, they're playing well on the court. They're playing with some energy. Tiago Splitter's saying the right things, Brian. The Trailblazers, I think, have a chance with Tom Dundon to spin out of this and go, hey, that was the old regime. This is all a new breath of fresh air. We're moving forward and pivot away from it. Is that how you see it?
I mean, I've said this since this story broke last week. If I was Tom Dundon, I would go back to Jody Allen and Burt Cold and say, whatever the price is that we've been negotiating, it's not that price now. This name and this brand has been dragged through the national media in the last week, and I'm paying this or I'm out. I don't know why you would want to still go through with the same terms of the deal. I also have been really skeptical, as we've talked about before, on how is Tom Dundon going to come up with the money to make this work? How is the NBA Board of Governors going to feel comfortable with someone who's worth far less than the typical NBA owner? So I'm not convinced, as we have this conversation right now, that Tom Dundon is going to be the owner of the Blazers. But yes, if he is, he's going to have some work to do on, you know, making sure you restore trust and integrity and, you know, I do commend the team for playing well, and Tiago Splitter, you know, you can't blame the guys that are in that locker room. They didn't do this, as far as we know. They're just kind of collateral damage, but it still put a stain on the franchise.
Brian Berger, Sports Business Radio, is with us. All right, so, you know, we hear the FBI and the Department of Justice come out and they say, hey, the legitimate gambling entities are victims in this too. The leagues are awfully hesitant to point a finger at gambling in general because they're making money on this stuff. Where's that fine line in your mind, aside from prop bets, but where's the fine line of, hey, you know, we still, the integrity of the game matters, and gambling should not be part of this story?
Can you say sports gambling and integrity in the same sentence? I just don't know that you can. Good friends with David Stern, and for years he fought this because he thought it would impact the integrity of the game, and it would be too hard to manage 300-some-odd players, however many coaches, however many front office people that all have information that if it got out could influence a bet. And all you need is a couple of those, and all of a sudden you've lost your integrity. So I think everyone's to blame. The sports gambling companies, I think the player prop bets, I think the NBA and the NFL and Major League Baseball and anyone who's taking lots of money from these sports gambling companies, there's no one with clean hands on this.
Ryan, sports in general, Shohei Ohtani, you know, his interpreter is in the center of a scandal. We've seen players in all the leagues get suspended and in some cases banned. What can the leagues do? Because the memo goes out from the NBA that says, hey, this is a problem. We need to protect players. The prop bets are part of it. But we're dealing with young people who have money here, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I think the punishment has to be severe, the threat of punishment, right? Like, if you screw up, you're banned for life, like Jontay Porter. And I think you have to have someone think really long and hard about, if I do this, I'm banned. Like, I don't get to coach anymore. I don't get to play anymore. I don't get to be a part of the NBA anymore. And you would hope that that would be a deterrent. Short of that, I don't know what could be done, because, like you just mentioned with Ohtani's interpreter, even people who aren't officially with the team, and this is what's crazy about, I'm sure you saw last week, maybe the dumbest ruling I've ever seen. The NCAA said, hey, let's make it legal for student athletes to gamble. You've got 18-year-olds, and they may not make the best decisions in the world. And if they say, you know, well, I didn't do this. I'm the student athlete. I didn't gamble on this. But I've got three roommates. They all have betting apps on their phone. I'm going to tell one of them to bet so it can't be traced back to me. There's all kinds of ways that information can get out, like through interpreters. And there's all kinds of ways that things can be circumvented so it's not traced back to the perpetrator, like the player or the coach. I don't know how you secure that and keep a handle on it.
I am fearful that if the story and the scandal is bigger, that it rocks confidence in the league in a way that is, you know, it can't be undone. What duty does Adam Silver have to get to the bottom of what is going on? And Brian, you know this. You've worked around these leagues for years. They're not always eager to find problems. Or how much does he sit back and just let the Department of Justice and FBI lead this?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they want him to testify in front of Congress pretty soon. So that's one thing. You know, I think he is going to pass off a lot of this on to the feds and say, again, our hands are tied. We don't have subpoena power. There's only so much we can do. But, you know, Congress could say, well, hey, you're the one who made a deal with these sports gambling companies. If you could go back and change that, would you change it? I don't know that any of the leagues would, because it's worth so much money to them and their teams. Most teams have team deals too. So I don't know what you do to restore the faith, other than I guess the best thing you can do is, things move so fast in the news cycle now, you just hope that something else comes and, you know, knocks you off the perch. I mean, I think the happiest people last week were Steve Ballmer and the Clippers going, oh my gosh, this is great. Now we're not the number one crisis in the NBA. We've got this betting scandal now. People won't be paying as much attention to us. Hopefully this moves through the news cycle sooner than later.
Tom Dundon, I mentioned him, the owner-to-be of the Blazers. How should he feel about this, and a coach being involved in this? Is it a non-factor? Does it help him if there's anything left to be negotiated? What do you think Dundon's thinking?
Yeah, again, if I were advising him, and I think he's a pretty smart guy, I would say I'm not paying the same price that we've negotiated. I'm paying a lesser price. And if not, then I'm out, because I'm going to have to do damage control as soon as I assume control of this franchise. I mean, you could argue that it's had a big stain on the franchise, whether it's with sponsors, fans, people who they may try and do deals with to get a new arena. Like, if I were him, I'd really play that up. It depends on how much he really wants the team. Is he willing to just stick with the same deal? But anyone I know who had an asset that was dragged like the Blazers were in the last week, they'd be going back to the table saying, I'm paying a lesser price than the price we were talking about before, because there's a new lens on this.
I think the NCAA is going to have issues with gambling. I think we'll see other scandals. Where are you most worried about the vulnerabilities? What league, in what area do you see vulnerability for future problems?
I think it's college sports, and there's not even a close second. Again, when you give 18, 19, 20-year-olds the ability to make money, at least in the pros, you know, Terry Rozier is making $26 million a year. Chauncey's making $4.5 million a year. At least you have pause about, do I really want to risk this? In college, there's far less risk, because unless you're Arch Manning or someone like that, you're not making millions of dollars. You could be the offensive lineman or the punter and put out confidential information to someone that's going to influence a bet. So I think college is the number one place to pay attention to. And again, the fact that the NCAA legalized betting for student athletes, and I don't care if they can't bet on their own game, there's other ways to do that. As I said, you can tell your roommate or a friend or a parent or whoever to do those things for you. I think college sports has a lot of vulnerabilities. And by the way, there's a lot more athletes in college sports. And with women's sports being able to be bet on, I just don't see how they keep a lid on a lot of this.
Brian, we saw Michael Jordan take a break and go to baseball all of the last couple of weeks. Have sparked a lot of conspiracy theories. You were around David Stern at the time. What do you make of Jordan going to baseball? Do you think it was all about his father, or is there some smoke there?
I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to get into that, because I don't have any concrete evidence. I've heard all the conspiracy theories that, you know, everyone's had. Even some people have said that, you know, James Jordan and his murder was tied to some of Michael Jordan's gambling debts. I have no idea about any of that. I think people raise an eyebrow and they say, wow, that was Michael Jordan. If, you know, he was basically sent to play baseball for a year, anyone can have anything happen to them. But like I said, I think there needs to be severe punishment that makes everyone else take pause and really think about going down the wrong road if they're considering doing it.
You mentioned, though, Rozier's contract. And the thing that jumps out at me, like everybody else, is I'm like, how much money do you need? Or Chauncey Billups being in that room making $6 million a year. How much do you need, Chauncey? How do you make that make sense, that these guys are involved or alleged to be involved in these crimes while making the money they're making?
I don't think it's about the amount of money. I think, one, it's about the competition. So, you know, Jordan famously gambled on the golf course. It didn't matter what amount of money it meant. You know, he was gambling on the golf course. And that was fine. He could do that at the time. I think the other part of this is what I said earlier. I've been with players and coaches and high-powered people in inner circles. If you get on the wrong side of a powerful person and they hold influence over you and they're going to let out a secret or they're going to impact your family, now you're going to do some desperate things. And I think that's what's happened here. I think Terry Rozier and Chauncey got caught up with the wrong people who wielded something over them. And that's how they found themselves in the positions that they were in order to protect their reputation, protect their family, protect their livelihood, but clearly it's all blown up.
Do you ban Chauncey Billups for life if he's convicted of participating in an illegal poker game? Do you remove him from the Hall of Fame? What do you do with those things if you're Adam Silver, and you're the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't know about the Hall of Fame, but I think if he's convicted of poker, and especially if he's convicted of giving inside information, I just don't see how you can't ban him and that you would allow him back inside of a team building or league building. I think there's no turning back at that point. Again, if you're trying to keep integrity in the sport and you find out that someone's giving information that's influencing betting or influencing playing time or ultimately influencing the outcome of a game, that's when you really have problems, because then people look at this and go, is this World Wrestling Federation and it's scripted, or is this really what I'm supposed to be watching? And with all the people having bets on this, how are you going to feel betting on this if you feel like the outcome isn't legitimate?
I want to ask you one more. Neil Olshay hires Chauncey Billups. Is this some of this on Neil, or can you put that on the GM that hired the guy who gets in trouble?
I mean, it starts from the top, right? So I think it starts with ownership. Then it goes down to the GM. You wrote a column, and there were certainly lots of whispers about Chauncey before he got this job. I think it's fair to, you know, look back and go, well, maybe they got this wrong, and maybe there were some skeletons in the closet. And, you know, I'm not saying those skeletons always are true, but there was enough of that where at least maybe the Blazers take pause and go, well, I don't really know if we want to take this risk. And they took the risk, and, you know, it worked out for a few years, but now it's blown up in their face.
Brian Berger, Sports Business Radio. You're the best, Brian. Thank you, man.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.
There he goes. Grab the podcast if you missed the first part of that interview. And stick around. Punch and Audio is coming up.